1. Our Story. Part of my training as an engineer at Hewlett-Packard, HP, a multinational information technology firm in Boise, Idaho, was to communicate clearly and succinctly. The clear part was easy. The succinct part was more challenging. When I gave status updates to my management at HP, I was encouraged to get to the point quickly. Tell them the conclusion right away, explain how I came to that conclusion, and then open it up for questions and challenges from my audience. With that training in mind, it seems appropriate to describe what happened before and during the process of losing Pam to this heartless disease of cancer. My left brain training was only partially appropriate for this situation. I always wanted to fix any issues for my wife or children because that type of behavior was valued and rewarded at HP. Define the issue, kick around ideas about how to understand its root causes, run some experiments to see if these hypotheses were on target, and then fix the issue in the most corrective manner possible. During both our battles with cancer, this approach helped a lot. But when we entered hospice during the last 6 weeks of Pam's life, it was not effective at all. For that, I needed new skills that were rooted in faith and grounded in good listening skills. I'd never been known for being a good listener. I was diagnosed with head and neck cancer myself in September 2012, and it was a tremendous shock. I'd been on my way to a big band rehearsal when I got the call from my primary care doctor. "John, I'm afraid I have bad news," he said. "I reviewed your lab reports and there's active cancer in your neck." Looking back, I realized that my brain fuzzed out significantly, and this was one of those times when certain mental circuit breakers in my brain blew open so I could continue functioning. I believe that these circuit breakers are part of our psychological makeup and they switch to an open status when we're confronted with overwhelming grief or sadness. That initial diagnosis came from a fine needle aspiration of new and troublesome lumps in my neck. But it also revealed a curiosity. These cancerous cells originated somewhere else in my body. Because my treatment, intense modulated radiation therapy, IMRT, caused significant collateral damage to all tissue along the lines of the radiation beam, it was critical that we find the primary tumor. In the days after the diagnosis, I had 2 CT scans and 1 PET scan to pinpoint the exact location of my primary tumor. But those 3 scans didn't find the source of my tumor, and I was scheduled for surgery in early October. The surgery opened the left side of my neck, and they found the tumor at the left base of my tongue. A round, 2-centimeter collection of squamous non-small cell cancer cells was growing deep down into my neck. Numerous lymph nodes and 1 submandibular gland were removed. Since they couldn't remove the primary tumor because that would mean I'd lose my tongue, the key was to find it so they could radiate it. Now the radiation oncologist knew where to aim the ray guns. I was to get 100% of my lifetime dose of radiation on that spot, with lower amounts around the tumor, thus the intense modulated type of radiation. During the therapy, they bolted me down to a table and shot at the tumor from 9 different angles. The machine rotated around my head and I felt absolutely nothing during each of these 35 sessions, 5 mornings a week for 7 weeks. I could hear the shutters in the radiation machine. Depleted uranium blocks moving in a linear fashion to deliver the precise dosage to each part of my neck, and in about 5 or 10 minutes, the session was complete. The physical decline from the cumulative effects of radiation didn't appear until the 3rd week. Mouth sores, lack of appetite, which ultimately required a feeding tube, and a general malaise surfaced as the treatment took a physical toll on my health. By the end of it all, I'd lost my voice, my sense of taste, and 40 pounds, 20% of my body weight. I also received a weekly dose of chemotherapy using cisplatin to combat any cancerous cells that may have escaped the ray guns and moved to other parts of my body. It was a brutal therapy regimen, and my team at St. Luke's Mountain State's Tumor Institute, MSTI in Idaho, claimed that head and neck therapy was among the nastiest to endure. I agreed. I was totally beat up by late December 2012 when active therapy was complete.